Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio and the Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz.
Hey.
Can you hear me okay? Because I have to use a headset that is not my AirPods because they need to be charged. I neglected to charge them.
No, I can hear you fine. Yeah.
Okay, great. So do you have a cold or is it just my headset?
No, I mean, I feel like I've been a little sniffly.
Yeah, you're a little sniffy. That's what they call you.
Stop it.
Hey, all right. I will stop it.
Stop it.
I could go so many places because, as you know, so much can happen between Thursday and Tuesday.
Mm.
I don't even know where to start. So, anyway, you and I have started to watch season 2 of Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Find it so fascinating, and those that haven't been listening to us the past several weeks, I love it that as different as Elisa and I are, we do converge. You know, we're podcast-wise, but we lead very different lives, but we always overlap energetically. And we love this show, and we are watching it in the same order together now. Once I found it, and it was like my therapy.
Mm.
Throw these people, isolated in Vancouver Island with the bears and you have to get your own food. And whoever lasts the longest, you have to build your own shelter. They get $500,000. So you and I are both on season 2. And what I find so fascinating is that the collective trauma that these 10 girls, the collective trauma that these 10 people have. And I think it's the first season that women are participating.
Yeah.
And it's very touching. You think, how can they still do this show? I know that it's 12 seasons or whatever currently. It has a huge following. But you can understand it's the people that really, you know, you get invested.
Mm-hmm.
And I find watching it so therapeutic for so many reasons because everything is just stripped to its essence. And what really struck me, it's at least one person, if not, I think there's two. I don't know because I've had an insane several days, which I may or may not get into. But I think at least one, if not two, there was the loss of a child involved. And just that journey and having, you know, being able to relate to something so unfathomable. And just the other traumas that other people have experienced and then using their survivalist skills, you know, to be in this competition. But on a deeper level, like it's like a vision quest in a sense. So, yeah, I think I'm on episode 5 going on 6. I don't know. You probably are a little more ahead of me.
Yeah, I finished it. I finished it last night.
Oh, girl. So I have to catch up. I have to catch up so that we could do 3 together.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I wonder if who, I am rooting for one person, but you care for all of them, you know, in one shape or another, or you're just fascinated with them. So you finished it last night.
Mm-hmm.
Were you happy with the person? I mean, because you're not going to give anything away. Was it the person you were rooting for, or was the person you're rooting for? You know, like they left.
Yeah, it wasn't the person that I was rooting for. I don't think I was really. I didn't have one person. Well, that's not true. There were a couple that I thought, oh, you know, they have such a good attitude.
Right.
That, you know, I would like to see them go as far as possible.
Yeah.
But I was happy with the person who did.
Good.
That person, I think, turned things around with the attitude.
Yep.
So.
Oh.
And just, well, oh. I guess, you know, there are different levels of how people have responded. I think in this season, especially, you have people who are going in there and they're very, you can see that they truly, I think they all at some point truly appreciate it. I think when they first get there, it's like, oh, it's so beautiful. And then after you get through marveling and you realize, oh, I really have to get things going. I have to live here.
Crazy.
You know, they just start to pay more attention. And I think they get to a point where they're really trying to work with their environment instead of just complaining about it the whole time.
Right.
So I think, but then at some point, everybody's like, I got to get food and it's not working out, and they get frustrated because they're hungry. You know, when you're hungry, mm-hmm. and stuff doesn't work, stuff gets brought out, you know, you're like the worst of your attitude can come out. And it's being documented. You're documenting it, you know, you're filming it.
Right. Right.
And at some points you may not, because you're not around other people, you know, I feel like it goes from a physical ordeal at the beginning because you have so much to do to set up, you know, to get build a shelter. Sometimes it's a temporary shelter, then it's a more permanent structure a little later on. Then you have to figure
right.
out your camping situation. You have to figure out your sleeping situation. How you don't
oh
want to sleep
God.
on the floor. You got to raise it up a little bit. Then you come up with other things that you have to do. And I think a lot of these contestants, they battle with the physical, and then I think fairly soon after that, it's also the mental, because there's there are chores. There's a routine you can do, but when so much of it requires energy, requires calories, and you don't get enough that the amount that you're used to, certainly, and you're even looking for food is an expenditure, and it's not a guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
So every day you may go to bed hungry and then and cold, because it's cold. And then, you know, there's so many things happening that even though things are stripped away, our minds can be engaged with, you know, a book or a phone or something else, a TV show. And this is them just trying to get by, you know, let me just keep it very simple. I need to eat something today. I need to see if I can go out and get food. And they're trying all these different things. So it's this combination, and at some point, if they're not getting what they need, they have to conserve. So they sit still, and there's nothing to do. Or maybe it's bad weather. There's nothing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some of them, they end up in their minds, and
mm-hmm.
you know, they get a little, they go a little crazy. So
fascinating.
God. It is fascinating because things really do come up, and all the things that I guess are part of your life that you're used to, you start to view them differently, because maybe compared to this situation, at least you have that, you know. But then again, I think it's that stark reality that you are here by yourself, and there isn't anyone else to blame.
Yep.
You know, there really isn't anyone else to blame.
Yep. It is you and your demons. Yeah, it's fascinating.
Yeah.
So I kind of think I know who won just based on a little bit of what you said, because there's this one person that the way he was cursing out everything
in his past. I'm like, you are a grumpy old man, and you better get your shit together, because this is day three, and you're, like, pissed at, like, the bramble. I mean, there are bears. There's cougars. I don't know what's out there. And so that's, like, the personalities are so fascinating. And then there's – so I'm thinking he probably won. If he says he's the one who turned around, I could be wrong. And then – so that was somebody that I'm like, oh, this is so interesting about how this person is relating and expressing. And then there's this other one that I already was booted off early on. And I thought she was lovely, but a little much. And she is a mother of two daughters. And she was just so gung-ho about, I have to teach my daughters that women can do anything. And those daughters are like, Mom, we opened up an escort service. And we don't need to be out in the wild hunting for food. Mm. We can just get together with some, you know, men with a credit card, and we're good. I'm like, no, like, women can do anything. And she's there with a freaking machete, and she's just there building her freaking shelter. Gorgeous. I mean, the things that these people make, mm-hmm. I'm like, can I order that online? Like, the Crate and Barrel have that? Like, gorgeous. Like, it's astounding how that just gets birth into creation. But I'm like, I'm glad you're not my mother. I mean, that is so much to live up to. I think she has like a freaking, a four-year-old and a baby. She left her baby to be a freaking, come on. Unbelievable. Yeah. So she can prove to her daughters that we could do any. I'm like, okay. But then I didn't really laugh. Maybe I slightly snickered. Because she got eliminated because she cut herself.
Bad, yeah.
She cut herself really. I couldn't even look at the TV. She cut herself really, really badly on the hand. Yeah, sometimes I have to look at the corner of the TV screen because I know something's just disgusting. Like, I don't need to see someone eat a slug up close.
Mm.
Or I don't need to see someone's, you know, gashing wound up close. And because they're given four different cameras and they set it up. And I have to say, whoever, like, on the production team, whoever figured out the logistics and then whoever the team of editors, because it's really gorgeously put together. It's beautiful, and it's therapy. I don't watch it like I'm watching a show with the plot line. And we don't know what's going to happen because we're just observing. But I watch it to really understand that there's only so much hiding between, you know, behind your trauma responses and hiding behind the noise and hiding behind the bullshit and hiding behind, you know, your bad experiences and hiding behind, you know, the lame things that you think are going to protect you. I think that's why I learned so much on an energetic level by watching every kind of personality, excuse me, and with their own journey and reasons. And, of course, they all have to have a level of survival skill, although they're not, I guess they're not considered professional. I guess it would be similar to the Olympics, right? Because in the Olympics, you're not technically professional in a sense, right?
But,
you're not a professional.
But with this stuff, I mean, some of them, that might be their side gig or something they do, or they teach people. They teach how to do that.
They're still amateurs, though, in a sense.
Yeah,
or
they're not out there.
Kind of.
I don't know.
Well, I guess there has to be some sort of qualification. I mean, there has to be. You have to. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you saw that. If you saw that that episode.
No. I know which one you're talking about. Yeah.
it was just to make the cut. You know, they had to apply, and then I guess I don't know how many were invited to do like a week long. I think it was a week long kind of testing your skills and kind of prepping
them.
Oh, that
makes sense.
And I don't know if everyone there was already in or if they were in contingent upon if they could,
right,
you know, do some of the, you know, learn some of the basic things. Maybe they were already okay, because it's 10 of them. It's a lot of them. So I feel like they were prepped, because now, you know, this is the second time they've done it on Vancouver Island. So they had a little bit more. One, they probably all saw the first episode, or the first season. And then I think perhaps the producers were like, okay, this is stuff you have to be prepared for, because this is the environment. And so they had to show proficiency. And then they were, you know, they were also prepped, because I think that go around there was like, there's the red tide, that red algae. So that affected all the bivalves,
right,
in the area. So you couldn't get mussels.
No. Right.
You know, so there were, I feel like they're not all professionals, but they all have done enough where they're either teaching it, they're doing it on the weekends.
Right.
And they've shown a skill level that was enough for the producers to say, okay, we can have you be part of this experience and not feel like you're going to just, you know, die.
Yeah, it's amazing.
In 30 minutes.
Right. Oh, I'd be out. I'm like, you just keep going. The helicopter? No, I'm good. Keep going.
Yeah.
You can drop me off.
It's beautiful.
Just,
there's a, where's the best city for sushi?
Yeah. Where's the nearest cocktail lounge?
Let's go. Maybe we'll continue. We'll have to continue, because they show a sneak preview of season 3.
It's like Liz, like, you know, speed it up with that. I'll catch up. But listen,
no pressure. It's not like watching it and I'm texting you right away. Oh my God, did you see that? We're not doing a watch party, but
we're not doing that. But no, go ahead and start. I'll catch up to you at some point. But please, I don't want to hold you up.
Well, honestly, I thought you were like binging from the holidays. I thought you were like, oh man, she's already watching it.
Well, I started, and then my life went in a very interesting direction. You know what that means when I say that.
We do have a request in the chat room. Hello to Raven and White Lily. So White Lily would like to have a card.
Yes.
If we could go ahead and,
of course,
I guess,
yes,
cue that up, and maybe we can bounce off from there for
yes, we'll do that
for whatever shenanigans are happening in your life, if you want to talk about it. Otherwise,
we'll see what happens. I mean, if we get a call, we'll see.
Yeah.
But before, I'm just loading up the database, but before I honor that request, I do want to acknowledge Marguerite's family, especially her son Josh, and just know we're thinking about you, not just Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Right.
We're thinking about you and your family, and we know how tender the situation is, and you have been and continue to be such a pillar of strength in your family, and perhaps not getting the deepest level of support and really being seen. So we see you, our beautiful Marguerite, with all your grace, and, you know, you are the matriarch, and that's a tough role. You know, holding it together all the time, that when it's time to get vulnerable, you don't know how to do that, because you're spending 95% of your life holding it together for everybody else.
Right.
So we want to be and acknowledge those tender places, and we love you. Okay, I just wanted to say that because it's very important that she knows that we are here holding space for that very delicate situation. All right, so White Lily, you know what to do. So Lisa, you can cue the music.
All right, here we go.
All right, so, usually it's a 3-digit number, but it's a 2-digit number affiliated with this message. And that number is 33. That's interesting. Okay, so here's the message that you picked, White Lily. Here we go. When contrast interrupts and overlays life's gentle flow, and is temporarily endured, no relief dwells in the peace of the untouchable soul. I love that. It's a sacred place that you can go through so much damage and trauma and devastation. And then it's that place of, it's almost like the untainted observer, you know, who's a, right? That's a beautiful message. I'll read it again. When contrast interrupts and overlays life's gentle flow and is temporarily endured, no relief dwells, meaning no with the K. So I actually, if I was, because I'm not conscious when I wrote these, know that, I'm going to put that in there, editing, know that, because I never edit these. Know that relief dwells in the peace of the untouchable soul. You know, and that really kind of ties into what we're just talking about, where these people are dwelling in nothing but contrast. Contrast
right.
to comfort, contrast to hunger, contrast to having water, contrast to having shelter, contrast to being safe because there's predators out there. I was going to say out there in those streets. Hello, she's from New York. Out there. Out there in, you know, the forest of Vancouver Island. Yeah. So that relief dwells in the peace of the untouchable soul. That's the place that's so pure. And I think it's the place that can get you out of that mire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of those really difficult situations that seem impossible. And again, the number affiliated with this message is 33.
Well, it's a 6 overall, which is about love and self-love, as a matter of fact, you know, love starting from you. But the made up of 2 threes, it is about the energy that you put out is also the energy that you can receive. It's
right.
the energy you allow flowing back to you. So exactly what we were talking about earlier on that, about the survivor type show is that there are people who have gone in and they look at their environment, they appreciate it, and they also realize, yes, you know, I'm like the intruder in a sense until I make myself like become part of it and you know, instead of resisting it all the time, understanding the flow of things. And then you feel like you're part of that environment instead of going in like, I got to do this, I got to hack through this, and I got to do this. So in a sense, I mean, any environment can be your environment. And you know it's temporary because it's always flowing. So whatever that flow is, it can feel like it disrupts your flow, but you know, you being part of something bigger is also something to keep in mind. So as much as you may want to sequester yourself, you're still part of an environment that you might not have been there for very long, or you might have been there a long time and not have realized and recognized the type of environment that you're in, that then you had a hand in creating some of the changes. So when we look at the number three by itself, it is about connection and communication and expression. And usually it's about, you know, doing that, you know, sometimes for the benefit of others, or in hopes of making a good impression or for entertainment. You know, three is a very creative number. But most of the time we're thinking about energy going out. When I have meet people who have threes somewhere in their name, or, you know, even their path, but usually it's in their name, they're super chatty. Like they they love to talk. And sometimes they love to talk once they feel comfortable with you. Sometimes it doesn't matter. Like, hey, you're here, I'll talk to you. And so when you see them doing that, it's partly how natural it is for them. Like, they're curious and they want to know, but also they want to be seen to some degree to be able to talk like that. They want to be seen, if not at the same level, then just to be seen sometimes, just to say, hey, can you recognize me for who I am? And the thing is, it's not just about the output of energy, because anytime you do that, and I think threes understand it, even if they don't immediately make that connection, is that, you know, if you want the attention, for example, sometimes you get it and it's not the best attention. Like it could be abusive attention, you know? You have to think about, okay, well, what am I communicating? What am I putting out there? And then tweaking it. So, you know, what am I really ready to receive? Is it just any old bit of attention? Or is it, oh, you know what, I want someone to see me for the things that, for who I am. I guess to get through the levels, for things that I do, and then for them to really see even deeper. Like, it's not more than just what you do, it's but who you are. And to get that recognition, but you have to be able to receive that.
Right.
And for some, they never get past the, this is what I do. But you're not going to get to the heart of me, because I'm not there yet. So yeah, when you get to that 33, it is actually a very beautiful blending of input and output. And even in some cultures, you know, or in some, maybe in some, some studies, 33 is like this Christ consciousness number. It's a master number. It's 33. So there's two threes
right
here making a big stamp on things, but it's that understanding of energy flow, of receiving as well as giving. And usually we think of Jesus Christ as someone who sacrificed a lot and gave a lot. So not that it has to be that level, but it could be for a bigger picture. But I feel like there's a lot of that, you know, a lot of that story that is kind of has kind of changed over the centuries of this iconic figure, to what purpose, you know, there are different purposes for having, you know, these legends and myths, so to speak. But so it can be on that end of the spectrum of, oh, I'm going to be a martyr, sacrifice everything. And it's like, you know, you have to be able to receive. If people are offering help, can you receive it without feeling like you're weak for doing it, you know, for accepting that? Because in accepting help, maybe you accept the fact that you can't do everything, because you really don't need to be doing everything.
Right.
And if you look back, it's probably what you were saying, I can't do everything. And all of a sudden you get help and you don't recognize that that's the help in answer to
that,
you know, like, why do I have to do everything? Well, you don't, but now you are, because you're consciously choosing not to, you know.
Yeah, because you refuse
for whatever reason. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, so hopefully that's a beautiful message, because when you are in that flow, you know, it's like, oh, you're going along and then there's this contrast. Like, how do you respond to that?
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're using references to this show that just Liz and I are apparently binge watching, of Alone on the History Channel, and people are out in the wilderness surviving, for how as long as they can, just by themselves. So they're not they don't have a tribe, they don't have other people. It's just them taking care of themselves, and they start to realize, I guess, where their threshold is, because some people are deciding, you know, I think I'm done. Like you'll hear this a lot, where they say, well, I feel like I've proven as much as I need to. I went in, I've done everything I said I was going to do. So some of them aren't. It's not like they're like, oh, I'm starving, I hate it here. They're just bored.
Yes.
You know, they're like, I can't train my mind to do anything else. Like I feel like, so what is it all for? And they know that the big thing is like, oh, I could win, you know, $500,000 if I tough it out the longest. But in those circumstances where, you know, they've gotten the routine down, they know it may not be like a steady amount of food all the time, but they're getting some food. But that is not, like, the money and the prize is not enough for them to stay in those conditions when what they miss the most, it's their spouse, it's their partner, it's their kids, it's their family.
Yep.
You know, and in most cases, also a bucket of chicken. You know, they're missing some of those things.
Right.
But they really start to prioritize what's important, and it's the answer to why are they doing this? You know, why are they doing this? And they're not doing it for the money. By the end of it, but even by the middle of it, it's like, you know, my health, my well-being, my peace of mind, my family. Like, what's the point in toughing it out when I could also be having like a major health issue as a result of it? And how is that going to help my family? You know, how is that going to improve my life? So some of them are exiting of their own by their own choice, and they're at peace. So they got into an environment that was very different and difficult, yet they chose it. You know, they saw an opportunity for whatever the case may be. Not usually in these situations, yeah, the money is a big prize, but also the experience. These are people who are used to making something out of nothing. And they actually enjoy that kind of challenge. So that's where I'm looking at with that message of recognizing, because we get contrast every day, all the time. And some of it just requires a lot more attention or a lot more inner work to understand. And so it doesn't have to be a big show, haha, no pun intended. But there are some, you know, everyone knows at least one person where they don't get anything unless it's a huge rock your world kind of situation. And it, you know, and it's like triggers
that
all
this
other stuff.
That would be me. That would be me. So annoying. It has to be explosive for me to get it.
And you know, and it can change. I mean, for you, it's, I think, that the level of explosion has gotten better. Like, it's not just huge.
Yes, much better.
I think you can really appreciate that. Where, I mean, I do. I mean, I think it's a testament to what you get out of the experience and the wisdom that you accumulate.
Oh,
you can apply. So when these things do happen, and they do. Your response is a response and not a reaction, you know?
Yes, and a learning opportunity. Talk about accelerated learning. I'm losing my mind right now with how I am moving through some core stuff. It's astounding. And I think that's why I like watching this show, because it's everything is just slowed down to the core, to the bare essence, to the fundamentals. And if you don't get the fundamentals right, then you are building on shaky ground. You know, and I'm tired of, you know, my core being having, you know, pillars that are not fully formed. But oh, I learn fast. Once I get what it is, I move through it really fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at least that's yeah. So there's something very grounding about watching this, and I love that we have like so many prior seasons to just, you know, to just watch. So I love that. Yeah. And it's great too that we're not like, so we're on episode this, episode that. But when I was watching during the Thanksgiving break,
mm-hmm.
I knew that at the time I had caught up to where you were.
Right.
So I was able to just give you some side comments about a few people on there. And we're not going to get into that because I don't want to, because I don't want to offend any members of the audience. But, I just had to make fun of one particular person, or just make it not, I don't even want to say make fun, because I have a lot of compassion for this person, as I know you do.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Just making some observations that I know that you and I would have about this person. And
mm-hmm.
and then when it was revealed, like their core issues and their trauma, then it all made sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because this person,
yeah.
I mean, we're not going to get into it, but this person was holding on to, I would guess it would be survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and feeling very guilty and feeling kind of burdened with how a very unfortunate situation turned out while they were in the military. We'll just leave that there.
Yeah.
But before that was revealed, this person was just quite the character. And I just had to text Elisa. I'm like, girl, did you see? Because I knew we'd find that funny.
Yeah.
But, yes, it's great to find things like that that are, you know, I'd rather watch this than watch, you know, housewives, you know, tearing each other by the weave. Although that's fun too, but this is much more. I mean, that's when I'm just totally brain dead. You know, then I want to see people that I feel like, okay, I'm not so untogether. These women are so they're so shallow and they're so vapid that it just makes me feel like, okay, I got my shit together. Okay, ish. And then I see these people on Vancouver Island avoiding, you know, bears. And I'm like, okay, things aren't so bad. You're okay.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I hope White Lily got the message. I don't
yes.
know if she responded in the chat.
Yes.
All good.
She says, she said, yes, love your explanation, makes so much sense. And she was asking about what show. And then she said, thank you. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it's History Channel. I watch it on Hulu, but I discovered it on Netflix. Netflix is just showing the second to last most current season, and that's how I got hooked. And then I had to find it elsewhere. And now, you know, and then, of course, I had to mention it on the show. And I had a feeling that you would really like it. And I think it's just a great metaphor for you know, when you push away all the noise and the chaos, what are the core fundamental issues that we need to contend with at a base level? And then what can we be shown about ourselves when everything is just so stripped down and you can't hide anymore?
Mm.
So, yeah. Yeah. But very interesting. And then, you know, remember for months and months and months, because, you know, my birthday is late June, and I went into an 8-year, and I'm all like, it's going to be so many gains and, you know, manifestation. And then I'm talking to you, or I'm on the air with you, and I'm like, what's up with this 8? Because my life has been exploding on so many levels, insane. Like the summer was insane, like ridiculous. And then when everything kind of exploded early fall, when I realized I was dating a sociopath, that was fabulous. the wreckage of, the wreckage of all of that, them, everything happening with my apartment, that was fun in August. Literally, my past exploded from the apartment to the person I was involved in, who was someone, for those of you that don't know, someone that I knew in my late teens, early 20s, who actually looked for me. And then we reconnected decades later, only for me. So I had trust for this person because we were very connected as young adults. And then as allegedly mature people, everything exploded because it turned out that he was a total sociopath. And thank goodness I kept it so light and so casual. That was just my instinct, that I was able to shut that down and walk away pretty unscathed. His two committed relationships that I wasn't aware of, I feel really bad for them. The person he was practically living with for 5 years that I did not know about, and the other person that was madly in love with him that he was involved with for 3 years at the same time that I didn't know about. So I really feel for them, and then he was cheating on them with me, and none of us had a clue. Which is so much fun. And I'm like talking to you like, so what's up with this 8 year? Because I'm manifesting a whole bunch of bullshit between my house falling apart, two floods in my house, some other things going on, things happening, you know, with my younger son and his friends that I had to like, you know, make it like, we're not having the homies come to the house anymore. You know, just all of this happening, going into the eight on my birthday. But now I'm understanding the manifestation part, meaning the manifestation of the wisdom, the manifestation of the growth, the manifestation of a new person, very new person, a little over a week ago, which is insane. So now I'm getting, put it this way, I haven't asked you this for a long, long time. You know what I'm going to ask? You're not going to do it. I'm going to text you. What I do, whether it turns into a serious thing or not, or I get together with them or not, but not many times, a couple of times, I think just twice before, just twice in the past couple of years that I've been out and single, I'm like, girl, you got to run some numbers. And I would give you, I think I did it twice with the two people that I had really kind of dated since my divorce. So it's been a couple of years. I'll give you like their birth dates. Mm-hmm. And then you run the numbers compared to my numbers. So yes, I will text you anon with that information. Because this person made the cut for you to run some numbers. It's been a minute. It's been almost 2 years that I've asked you to run some numbers for me.
That's true.
So you're going to run some numbers for me? Yeah.
Of course.
Yes, of course. It's good to have a friend. You know what? I love that. I always know somebody for anything that needs to be done. Like, I know a guy, or in this case, I know a dear friend. But, you know, you always got to know a guy that knows a guy. So I'm very fortunate that one of my dearest friends is a brilliant numerologist and someone who I love, and you're so smart and academic, where I am not in some aspects. So it's very helpful. Yeah. So
I look forward to hearing, to seeing it and hearing what happens.
With the numbers or what's happening with this situation? Because this situation is already insane. Both, probably. This situation is already insane. You know, my single misadventures, which really was much more the case like over 2 years ago when I was dating this one person for 5 months. Like, so, you know, it was always like the crazy misadventures. Yeah, this is not a misadventure. This is so, when I say real, not like I don't know what's to happen. It's absolutely too soon to even determine. But the person I'm dealing with is so damn real I cannot hide in any of my usual places. I'm like, there's no place to hide.
Mm-hmm.
There's no place. It's like Vancouver Island. I got no place. I got to build my shelter. I got no place to hide. I got nope. Nothing's working. Yeah. Yeah. All my default settings. Nope. No good. None of them. None of them. It's really good for me. This is one of the most realist people. The backstory is so insane in terms of what this person has gone through. I don't even know how to condense it, but I'm going to try. So just as a quick recap, after the last breakup with the person, with, you know, whoever I was dating, after that breakup in the early fall, I'm like, this is, it makes no difference. This is someone that I knew. It makes no difference if it's someone that you know or you meet them in the way that people want to meet people through, you know, you the museum and somebody thinks you're cute or they talk to you or whatever, any of those circumstances. It really doesn't matter. There's always risk involved. And, of course, I talked about planting, you know, putting my net in just the pool of eHarmony, because that kind of filters out the people who want the booty calls, or you can get a hookup real easy and not pay for it. This you got to pay for, and you just got to stick your line in. But I caught a big fish. I caught such a big fish that I wasn't ready for the fish. A week ago Monday, when I was wrapping up my class and I'm checking my phone, I see a notification that so-and-so, you know, this person sends a message, and I didn't open it at work. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to, you know, because you get like Frank. I always, my joke is, yeah, Frank the or Larry the account, the CPA, or, you know, and they look terrifying. Are they friends with Charles Manson, perhaps? Is that a look that they're going for? You know, and as a mature woman, although I keep it together, there's slim picking, and I'm not going to go out there where it's a hookup on these other sites where, you know, getting hit up by people much younger or whatever, and you know it's just that's what they're into, or that's what they want, or they think I'm cute, and that's it. They don't care how old I am, or whatever it is. It's like, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was all set to delete this person, and then I look at the profile, and I'm like, shit, I deleted the rest of them, and that was like my entertainment. Nope. I will not respond to these messages. You're freaking me out in terms of your profile or whatever. I wouldn't even look at the profiles half the time, and I could not delete it. And in a nutshell, ironically enough, as I mentioned before, this, our last show, this person is originally from Toronto, is a brilliant, I've heard a little bit of his music, brilliant jazz saxophonist, and so much more. And he has survived a major brain trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And he, so I want to make this very concise. He developed a condition. I know it starts with a D, but it's something that happens to different people for different reasons. But with musicians, in a nutshell, I don't know why, from maybe the repetition, and he's been playing the sax since he's like a kid, and I think he's a fucking genius just from the little bit of exposure that I've had. But only when you play your instrument that these involuntary movements take place, and I don't know if it's with the hands, with the face, but these involuntary movements, and the only way to avoid that is to not play your instrument.
Oh my gosh.
Or no, this is a freaking movie. Or you sign up for a clinical trial for an experimental surgery, and it's experimental brain surgery. And I think there's up to 5 people. He was patient number 2. And how I found out about this, so we, you know, so I see this thing on the app, I see this message, and I'm like, I got to answer, because one, he was more attractive than I thought he was going to be as I was looking through the pictures. I'm like, damn it, jazz musician. So I'm like, he has a clue about my crazy life, you know, because I call people that don't get artists or that they're not passionate about it or they have no clue. I call them civilians. So I'm like, he's not a civilian. We, although our fields are entirely different, but we get sort of the makeup of what makes someone passionate about their art, and it's a lifestyle, it's not a job. It's just, this is your life. So he was like, I have to be part of this. And he got the surgery almost 2 years ago. It was when COVID, of course, the height of how crazy COVID is. So we had to wait a while. And but how I found out, I said something like, so we're messaging back and forth. Then we get off the app and then we start texting. Then we're texting. And then there was maybe a phone call. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay. I really think I like this person. Okay. This is new. All right. And then he sends me a text. Can I send you a video of one of my songs? I'm like, oh, yes, of course. Because I had said, I'm really curious to learn more about your backstory. And he said, it might be startling. I'm like, okay. So it's a video that he made. And a homemade video, but I thought it was really well thought out. And one of the first images that you see I'm going to steal this image. I told him, it's so riveting. He's in a hospital bed, clearly pre-brain surgery. There's all this apparatus, like covering, you can't really see his face. Like there's like his head is covered with this metallic, like, I don't know what it, this metal thing, whatever. And he is in the bed getting ready for surgery, playing the hell out of the sax. Just in seeing that image, because you know about my advocacy with disability, not that he has a disability, but just overcoming adversity is just something that I've always responded to, like in my work, in my friends, in my life, whatever. My documentary, you know, where she was in a robotic study, you know, to walk again, like all those things. So, and he has no idea about this. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh God. And this video was to present a composition that was post-surgery called Wired, because he's talking about wiring the connections in his brain.
Mm.
And then he has like sheet music coming. I thought he did a good job. He had sheet music coming up and you could hear it and you see the other people playing. And I'm hearing this and I'm like, okay, Miles Davis. Okay. Well, I'm like, whoa. And I know very little about jazz, but I know about art and I know about craft and I know about brilliance. And that was like foreplay to me. And this is seeing somebody, because this is how I'm very attracted to someone's mind. It doesn't help that I find him very attractive physically, but all those feed into each other and enhances those aspects of attraction. And I'm blown away, and his recovery is remarkable to take that risk. But it's like, if I don't do that, I might as well be dead. I get it. I get it. And he has he has like an implant in his brain, I guess the way somebody would have a pacemaker. And then he has to go to this place in Maryland, Maryland, like every 3 months to get checked out. And then I think because he's approaching year 2, then it's going to be every 6 months. And I'm blown away. I'm blown away. He also teaches. He runs a center. It's outside of the city. I guess it would be considered a suburb of New York. I don't know, but it's not too far, but it's outside of the city where he lives. And he runs a center for jazz and contemporary music, I think it's called. So we both teach. And just that gritty sax player that you would imagine that has gone through so much. There's even more to the backstory that I'm not going to share, you know, from his childhood and other experiences. But also part of or complementary to this surgery, he is in therapy. So I am dealing, like, intense therapy. So I am dealing with someone who's communicating with me, a man who's communicating with me in a way that any man, I mean, and I stopped counting my marriage 26 years, okay? My own husband never went as deep as this guy. It's crazy. And real fast, because I know we have a couple minutes left, very spontaneously, after I saw that video, then I think that night was our first FaceTime to like midnight. Then the next night, second FaceTime to like 1 in the morning. And then on Sunday, we're talking, and he's like, are you hungry? And I'm like, well, I have to go to a show later, but yeah, I guess maybe. An hour and a half later, he took me out to breakfast.
Aww.
So I met him. And he challenges me.
Mm-hmm.
He really challenges me because I haven't gotten this type of communication from a guy really ever. And pre-marriage, you know, I was 25. So pre-marriage,
right.
You know, I can't really base it on the two, you know, intense boyfriends that I had between 18 and 24. You know, they count, but those relationships haven't shaped me. My marriage was more about deprivation. So I'm lagging. And then the two guys I dated, you know, we know where that ended up. So, yeah, I'm learning so much, but I'm glad that I'm a very fast learner. I have to follow my face, and then I figure it out, and then I'm good. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I caught a big fish. And then in the show, when this woman caught this big-ass fish, it was like 2 feet, I'm like, I caught a fish just like that. I caught, because I had my lines in, and you know, I kept throwing these little lame ass fish back in the water. I'm like, nope. Go back in the water. Yeah, so I am intrigued enough because I have not asked you to run numbers in about 2 years. So you're gonna run some numbers for me.
I will.
I'm grateful for that. Yeah. So yeah, I can't. This is someone I can't bullshit, which is great because it means I no longer need to bullshit myself.
Mm.
And I think that's a beautiful gift. And I think we'll leave it to be continued. So, if any of you need to get a hold of us, you can send an email to loablend@gmail.com, and we will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 United States Eastern Time. Take care of yourself and each other. And as always, let the light do the work. All right. I love you, girl. I know. I love you, girl. And have a great day, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Love you. Bye.